5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Today, we reach the halfway point of the book, The Christmas Reindeer, written by Thornton W. Burgess. Thank you for coming along on this ride through this book. It's been a while since I've read through a book here on the podcast, and it's a nice little way, I think, to end the year. And speaking of reading through books, I just added a book to my list of read books, and I am up to 45 books that I've either read or listened to this year. I think that to start 2026, I might read The Count of Monte Cristo again. I have been thinking about doing this for a while now, but who knows? I literally check out the books at the bookstores and secondhand bookstores, and my bookshelf at home keeps getting books added to it. I guess we will see what happens come January. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 11, Tuktu Tells Her Story. With his long, swinging trot, Whitefoot rapidly made his way out of the Valley of the Good Spirit. Once only did Tuktu look back at the cloud of shimmering, many-colored mist. At one point, it glowed a rich, deep red, and as she looked, this turned to rose and finally to a faint pink and then vanished. Nowhere was the good spirit to be seen. Out of the valley, over the hill, climbed Whitefoot, and Tuktu turned him in the direction of the camp. There, presently, she fastened him where Aklak had put him to graze. Her father and brother had not returned. As in a dream, she looked back to the hills around the valley of the good spirit. Could it be that she had been there? Was it not all a dream? But if it were a dream, it had been a wonderful dream, the most beautiful of all dreams. She knew that Kutok and Aklak would not believe the story she had to tell. They would say that she had been asleep and the dream spirits had visited her. She looked across to the distant hills above the valley, and with a suddenness that startled her, she realized that not a deer was to be seen. Of course not. Had she not seen them move out of the upper end of the valley? There was the proof. With the realization of this, all thought of anything else was driven from the mind of Tuktu, even the wonderful experience she had been through. The great herd was moving, and there were no herders. She must get word back to the herders on the coast. She would take the other pack deer, for Whitefoot must be tired. Perhaps she would meet her father and brother on the way. She had just prepared to start, when in the distance she saw Kutok and Aklak approaching. When they reached her, they were in high spirits. They had had good hunting, and they brought with them plenty to eat. "They have moved," cried Tuktu. "The deer have left the Valley of the Good Spirit." Kutok threw down his load and hurried to the rise of ground from which he had been accustomed to watch the deer on the distant hills. Long he looked, searching every bit of ground within range of his eyes. Not a deer was to be seen. "It is so, little Tuktu," said he on his return. "The herd has started for the winter grazing grounds. It is time that we should also move. Aklak shall go back to carry word to the herders, while you and I will follow the deer. They will move slowly, so there is no hurry, but it is well that we should catch up with them soon, lest the wolves attack, finding them unguarded." So Aklak started back to the summer camp to send up the herders and to help break the camp and move toward the winter home. took to and her father with a small skin igloo or tent wherein to sleep and food enough for their immediate needs, started at once to catch up with the great herd. Through years of experience, Kutok knew in what direction the deer would travel and the shortest way to reach them. They traveled too fast for much talking. Tuktu longed to tell her father what she had seen in the Valley of the Good Spirit, but somehow she couldn't. "He will laugh at me," she thought. "He will not believe, and he will laugh at me, and I do not want to be laughed at." So she said nothing, but all the time there was a song in her heart. It was not until Aklak had rejoined them that she told of her adventure in the Valley of the Good Spirit. At first, Aklak laughed, as she had known he would. "It was a dream, Tuktu," he cried. "It was a dream. You must have slept through that fog while Father and I were hunting, and the dream spirits took you with them. No one has ever seen the Good Spirit, and no one ever will." But Tuktu stubbornly insisted that it was not a dream, until at last even Aklak began to believe that it might be so. You would have laughed to hear him ply her with questions, all the time pretending that he didn't believe a word of it. But Tuktu caught him looking at her with a respect in his black eyes which was new in her experience. And she noticed, too, that he no longer teased her, and that now he was never selfish. The biggest share of anything was always hers. Never had he been so gentle and thoughtful. Yet never once could she get him to say that he believed her story of the Valley of the Good Spirit. Now there was one thing that Tuktu did not tell Aklak. It was that the last deer chosen was from their father's own herd. Never had Kutok had a deer chosen by the Good Spirit from his herd until now. Tuktu had known that it was her father's deer because she had been near enough to see the earmark. Besides, there was no other deer in the herd to compare with it. Sometimes when Aklak insisted that it was all a dream, she would be almost persuaded that he was right. Then she would remember that it was her father's finest deer, Speedfoot, which had been chosen. "If," she would say to herself, "we cannot find Speedfoot in the roundup, I shall know for a certainty that I did not dream. It will be the proof." Thereafter, she spent many hours wandering in and out throughout the great herd looking for this particular deer and rejoicing that she could not find it. Chapter 12. The Deer People. Winter had come. The deer were on their winter feeding grounds. Could you have been there, you would, until you had watched them a while, have wondered where they could find anything to eat. As far as could be seen, and far, far beyond that, there was nothing but snow. But the deer people minded this not at all. They knew that the snow was but a blanket to protect and keep in splendid condition the food they loved best, the reindeer moss, as it is called, which carpeted the ground, the lichens which nature had provided specially for the reindeer and caribou. Tuktu liked to go out and watch them paw down through the snow. "See, Aklak," she cried, "they know just where they will find the best food. Do you suppose they never make mistakes?" "The deer are wise with a wisdom not given us," replied Aklak. "Perhaps they make mistakes sometimes, but it is not often. I heard such a queer thing the other day. It makes me laugh every time I think of it." "Tell me, for I want to laugh too," cried Tuktu. "What is it, Aklak?" Aklak chuckled. "You remember the visitors that came in great ships last summer?" said he. Tuktu nodded. "Well, one of them, who never had seen reindeer before, asked if the deer used their horns to shovel away the snow in winter. He said that he had been told this, and that many people believed it to be so. It is a lucky thing it isn't so, or those big old bucks would go hungry now that they have dropped their horns. But just look at the way they are pawing up that moss over there. I guess it is a good thing they haven't their horns, or they would be so greedy and selfish that they would get all the best of the food. See, Tuktu, See that young Spikehorn over there driving away the old buck from that moss he has uncovered? Sure enough, a youngster with only two sharp spikes for horns was butting a big old buck who had just pawed away the snow from a bed of reindeer moss. Those spikes were sharp, and they made the old buck grunt. Having no horns himself, he could not fight back except by striking with his forefoot, and these the youngster took care to avoid. So finally, the old fellow gave up and went to look for a new supply of food while the youngster ate undisturbed. "I have wondered a great many times," said Tuktu, "why it is that the old bucks drop their wonderful antlers so long before the mother deer and the young spikehorns do. But I guess I know now. It is because they are the strongest, and so they are made to look after the weaker ones, whether they want to or not." Aklak nodded. "That's it, I guess," said he. "By and by, those little spikes will drop. Then the only ones to have horns will be the mothers. Theirs will not drop until after the fawns are born. Do you know why the reindeer always face the wind when they are feeding? So that the wind may bring them the scent of any enemies that may be ahead of them," replied Tuktu promptly. Aklak nodded. "That is one reason, but it isn't the only reason," said he. "The wind keeps their eyes clear of drifting snow, so they always face the wind, no matter how bitter it may be. They are a wise people, the deer people. They know how to take care of themselves. They cannot see as well as some other animals, but they can smell and hear better than most. Their wild cousins, the caribou, are the same way. When we are hunting them, we have to take the greatest care that they neither hear us nor smell us." The children were standing on the outer edge of the herd. As always, Tuktu was watching for a glimpse of Speedfoot, the splendid deer she felt sure the good spirit had chosen. Now, for the first time, she mentioned it to Aklak. He knew the deer she meant. He had hoped that someday he might have it for his own. So now, when Tuktu had told him that she was sure it had been chosen by the good spirit, and that she had been unable to find it anywhere in the herd, he straightway began keeping watch himself. Together they passed back and forth through the grazing herd. They are a gentle people, these reindeer folk. The children could quite safely go about among them as freely as they pleased. There was nothing to fear. Long they searched, but in the end, Aklak had to admit that Speedfoot was missing. "It may be the Amarok the wolf had gotten him," said he, "or it may be that he has strayed into one of the other herds. We cannot know until the deer are driven into the corrals and counted." Tuktu merely smiled. "I know," said she. "Amarok had never set tooth in him, and he has not strayed to another herd. He is one of the chosen of the good spirit. You shall see, Aklak, that I am right when the count comes." "But not even the count will tell us if Amarok has killed him," said he. There was a faraway look in Tuktu's eyes and a half smile hovering around her lips. "You will find him next summer when we move over near the Valley of the Good Spirit," said she. "Then you will know that I speak truly. He is one of the chosen eight, the blessed deer of the Good Spirit."
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.